Part B.
Paul did this in a unique way, as I presented to you earlier. He stuck two participles to tell you, and then put the taillights on it to show you that when I shifted over here, although it may look weird to start with, because it got taillights in the back seat, it may look a little weird, but the reason is that there are certain things, when there are conflicts, there are certain things that are more necessary in the front. When there's relation conflict, you've got to have three things up front. Then the others at work. Got to have three things up front. Forbearance. Forgiving. And agape. And agape. The love. And beyond all these. Let me give you one more before we take a break. Don't run out on me on a break now. I give you a 15-minute break to have a cup of coffee and eat a donut and fellowship a little bit, and unless you have to work. I know I got some people in here who have to go to work. And so I want to be sure I get the third point, because I know Glenn sometimes has to leave. Got to go out there and protect us while we're sitting here, make sure nobody steals stuff from our car and our house while we're here at church. Let me tell you something that's very important. So you get point three. And Glenn, I put point three at three rather than four to make sure I got Glenn. Now this, I mean, because there's a point here, not because... Take the shovel out of my hand, because I'm digging a hole here. Get that shovel out of my hand. Listen. The offended, now listen to me, church, pay attention. The offended spiritual mature believer must become a spiritual first responder. That's the reason I wanted. Because that's what his life is about. Not just his, but other men like him and women. They're first responders. And recently we've had a chance to look at first responders nationally and statewide. And as I've watched them, I paid attention. I saw there were some things that were very important. For example, planning, preparation, and execution of it. It's very important to first about how well things go. And that's what, in my opinion, Paul is speaking to us about when he says, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, forgive them. It is taking the mindset. Now listen, Glenn has to think as a first responder all the time in his life, not just when he puts a uniform on. He has to think that way now. If an emergency comes in, he has to be a first responder. He has to have a mindset. And that's what Paul is talking about. Whoever, and listen, this is interesting, because the word whoever isn't whoever. It's if anyone. It's a third class condition. If anyone, that's all right. I don't care. Whosoever probably means that to you. But it's a third-class condition. In this, it says, if anyone has a complaint against anyone. See, there's the problem. That's what they had in the church of Colossae. They had a conflict, and there was complaint. There was one against another. And he said, look, forget it. You're looking at the debt and not how it's resolved. You're looking at the offense and not how it's resolved. It's not resolved between you and him. It's resolved between him and the Lord. You forgive as forgiven. You give him forbearance. You give him forgiveness. You give him love. And whatever else he needs from the Lord will give him. If he needs a little switch, the Lord will give it to him. You don't have to. The Lord needs to shake him up, shake his life up, and get him squared away and get some sense in him. You don't have to be in him. What you have to do is be a first responder. You're to forgive. You're to have forbearance. You're to forgive. You're to love as the Lord has you. Listen. 1 John 4:19, what does it say? What? Where are you when I need you? You can read my mind all the time. We love because he first loved us. We forgive because He first forgave us. Come on, people. Come on. Look, when it comes to forgiveness, the offensive end, it's not about the offense. It's not how much the debt is. It's not, it's not that. None of that. Quit. Get calm. Put the measuring stick down. Because you see, it's all about the Lord. I'm to forgive as the Lord. I'm not to forgive. Well, He don't forgive me. Well, He don't forgive me. Well, quit. It's not about that. It's not this. It's this. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Love as the Lord loved you. You love others the way He loves you. You forgive others as He forgives. You forbear with others as He forbears with you. Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Come on. It's about the Lord. It ain't about you. It's not the me world. It's not about me and it's not about thee. It's about Him. It's about the Lord. Everything is about the Lord. Don't you know that? Did you know that? Share with that. Don't you know that He saved you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head? That you've been saved and your life is not your own? You've been bought! 1 Corinthians 6:20. Let me tell you, one day when that pearly gate, when you stand at that pearly gate, you're going to be thankful that it works that way. If it's pearly, I don't know. I just think it's a gate. We make a big mistake by focusing on the offense and the offender or the crisis rather than on being a first responder. Because a first responder is looking at how to solve it. He don't run out in a fire, he doesn't run out and throw gasoline on it. Well, here's how to deal with this deal. You go like, give me your badge and get in the truck. We're going to put you in the office and see how you work. First responders, church. Forbearing, forgiving, and loving just as the Lord did you. Let me ask you a question before we break for the first half. Are there any offenses or offenders we don't have to forgive? Well, if there is, then there's some that He didn't go die for. Because you've included them in your life. And let me tell you, that's sorry theology. That's sorry theology. You wouldn't want that in your life, I guarantee you. Let me tell you that the cause of Christ in the world takes precedent over our feelings. Let me deal with number four. Now here you want to pay attention to this. This one's very important because you're not going to be a first responder unless you get this principle. I mean, you want to emotionally. I can see it. You go like, sign me up for a first responder. And I see that. And I like that. Let me tell you, you gotta have four. Learning to forgive is forgiven is part of renewing your mind. Oh yeah, it is. yeah, it is. If I can figure what end to read the Bible from. Look at Ephesians. I could do it in Colossians, but I want to do Ephesians. Because we got the same idea. You know, Colossians and Ephesians, that's brother and sister books. Look at the last verse of chapter 4. The very last verse. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also forgave you. It's that same idea in that. You got Ephesians 4:32? See that? And then there's a lot of lot. For example, in verse 28, let him who steals steal no more. In verse 29, let no unwholesome word. In verse 30, do not grieve the Spirit. Verse 31, let all bitterness. See the let? That's a let that out. He's been stealing. Let's let this one out. Let's get rid of that one. Let's let it out and get rid of it. All right? Let's get rid of that one. In verse 29, let's get rid of this one. Let's get rid of this one. All right, let's get rid of this one. In verse 31, let's get rid of this stuff. Let's get rid of this. See that? See, there's stuff you got to get rid of before you can put stuff on. You understand? When we tell you to take off old man, we're not telling you not to put something on. We're telling you to take off the old clothes and put on new clothes. We're not telling you to take old clothes and run around naked. None of us want to see that. We're not telling you to do that. We're telling you to take off the old and put on this. See, the writer says, let these out and let this in. Take this off and put this on. Now the where he said that was up here in verse 22, 23, and 24. See, he says in verse 22, in reference to your former manner of life, lay aside old self, being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit. And he's talking to believers about stuff that's still there from the old life. And then he says, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, putting it off and putting it on is a process of your thinking. It is a renewing. Here it is. It's gone. Here's what's in. This is out. This is in. Renewing. This is out. This is out. This is in. This is out. This is in. See, that's renewing. And that's what he's saying here. And then in verse 24, he says, put on the new. And then he goes in and he talks about specifics. He says, put off this, put on this. Put off this, put on this. Put off this, put on... See that? That is a processing. And listen, it is a processing dealing with relationships. These are all words in here, unwholesome words. I mean, I'm not going to be offended if I talk to myself that way. Well, sometimes I am. Right? Well, that was dumb. Don't call me dumb. I don't have those conversations often. No, these are relationships. Listen, it says, lay aside falsehood, speak truth to one another. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't steal, work with stuff and give work so you can give stuff. Let all wholesome be edified. Don't grieve the Spirit. Notice how he always puts that in. He gives you a little something, then he tells you why it's bad. Did you notice that? Did you notice that? See, he tells you 20, 25 and 26, and then he says, don't give the devil a place. Then he says 28 and 29, and then he says, don't grieve the Spirit. Then he gives you 31, and then he gives you 32. Do you see that? Ain't God wonderful? So, look, there is a renewing here. Put off this, because it's a negative impact for Christ. Take it off, put this on. That's a positive. Take this off, that's negative. Put this on. Because why? Because when you wear this, trouble comes. Conflict. This stirs up the hornet's nest. These are things that stir up the hornet's nest. So, when you hear something like forgive is forgiven, listen, it's okay when there's not conflict, but suppose you're up to your neck. I knew it was a neck. up to that. I love you as a congregation. You helped me so much. I couldn't make it. There's no doubt I couldn't make it if I didn't have coaching. There's no doubt about it. I appreciate it too. I appreciate it. It's not Colossians, the second chapter, Pastor! I love you. I know. My eyes are getting there, though. I thought that for sure. That was a three. Here, Pastor, let me help you up the steps. And here, are you okay? Is anybody out there? I hope I have enough courage to quit before I'm there. I don't know. Listen to this. Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 2. This is what we're talking about, renewing the mind in conflict. Don't be conformed. He puts a negative may on it with a present middle imperative. That's a command. Do not be. In other words, it means stop. Stop doing that. And the present tense means, I mean from this day forward. I don't want to see that. I mean, I don't want to hear, oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear it. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear, oh Lord. I don't want to hear, oh Lord. I want to hear, Lord, in a direction of a person, not an event. Do not be conformed to this world. See, that's old man. That's why we call it old man cosmos diabolicus. Because cosmos diabolicus, that's what it means. It means thinking of the world promoted by the devil. But Allah, that should be A-L-L-A, not all. Allah, it's a conjunction of contrast. Don't be conformed to the world, command. Stop doing that. Start doing this. But be transformed. Notice that's a present passive indicative. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? With a divine purpose, that you may prove what the will of God is. Not that you may know it. Not that you may know it, but that you may do it. Not that you may know it, but that you will do it to completion. In the faith cycle, there is one part that's very important for you, and that's the part that comes wait on God to do it. It's easy to learn what God wills, but then that wait, where he says, child, do you trust me? Oh, I know you know that to be true. I know you know that to be true. And I love you for it, child. I love you that you've come to know that's true. Now, child, you've got to learn to trust what you know to be true. You've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. That's where it gets scary. And you have to have Romans 4:21 that says that whatever he's promised, he will perform. And that waiting faith, Bob Thiem called it the faith rest technique. This is the side that it's required. You got the truth, but do you have the trust? Do you have the trust? Oh, I know what he says. But are you willing to wait? Be calm. And wait for God to do. And listen, sometimes he will wait the last day, the last hour, and the last minute. Sometimes. Sometimes. And sometimes he'll do it before he even told you. Any good. Listen, he's always going to do it. He's always going to do it. And listen, when you wait, he will do it in some of the most magnificent, unbelievable ways. Let me tell you, the most exciting times in my life has been on this waiting side. When I waited for God to do it. And I had some ideas how he ought to do it, and he didn't do it. I got a little nervous. Oh, I thought you'd do it this way, but you didn't. I thought you'd do it this way, but you didn't. And when I get that nervousness, I always think about Abraham and Hagar. And I go, I'm staying. I'm staying. See, I have ideas like that. When I get nervous and I want to move away from my position to stand firm, I get to thinking about these stories. Well, you remember Jonah, don't you? I like to fish, but I don't want to be fish bait. I'm gonna wait. And listen, the way he does it, I wouldn't take anything for that today. The way God in His marvelous grace meets your needs, it is so outside you. It is so beyond you. It is so unbelievable. Oh, God, you're marvelous. Oh, God, why would I want to live any other way? Oh, God. Oh, people, don't miss this part of the Christian life. It's one thing to have truth. It's another thing to have trust in the truth. Oh, he's so magnificent. Why don't we remember that? He will take care of you in the most magnificent way. And after a while, you go like, I don't care how that, God, you just do it. I'd rather have you do it, Daddy, than me do it any day. That is the absolute truth. I wouldn't change my life. I wouldn't want it back any other way than I have it today. Because I've learned to wait. Because I'm so excited in the wait, I don't get nervous anymore. I'll wait because I know He's going to do the most magnificent things in that moment for me. That I might have a testimony, that I might have a praise, that I might grow closer in my understanding of His magnificent grace, and that I might be that person for someone else. When they're in that wait, and God says to me, while you're waiting, I want you to look over here. I got somebody in the wing that's waiting. I want you to extend it out to them. I want to use you, Ron, to meet that need. I want to use you to meet that need. Oh, and when you do, I forgot about waiting. I'm alone. You know what I'm talking about, church? Listen, you must break the cycle of bad behavior by changing bad beliefs by the renewing of your mind. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, slander be put away. I like the eye roll. The word put away, iro, is an aorist passive imperative. That's a command. And you see the word aero? See the word air? Fly away? You see that? Lift it up. Let it be lifted up and fly away. Let bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and slander. Listen, pick it up like a bird. Pick it up. Pick each one of these up like you got five birds. Pick them up. Pick bitterness up. Take a look at it. And turn it loose. Let it go. Pick up bitterness. Pick up wrath. Pick up clamor. Pick up slander. Pick them up individually. They're listed individually. Pick them up. Lift them up. And turn them loose. Get rid of it. And in its place, put on kindness, tenderheartedness, forgiving. Pick this up by command and free it. Listen to me. As soon as you pick it up, listen to me now. Listen to me. As soon as you pick it up and throw it, that will become as far as the east is from the west, as far as the Lord, so far as the Lord has forgiven you. I'm going to do this. Because the Lord has done this for me. And I'm going to lift this up. And I'm going to release that. As far as the east is from the west, so far has the Lord forgiven me. Psalms. See it on your paper? In point number 5. Psalms 103:12. Sometimes the most difficult person to forgive is yourself. We call it misplaced guilt, regret, and remorse. Misplaced. Because the Lord has forgiven and you're still holding. It's called misplaced. You know where it ought to be? Gone. That'd be gone. It should be iroed. It should be picked up and released. As far as the east is from the west, so far as the Lord has forgiven you. He said in Isaiah 53:25, that great messianic passage, and I, even I, am the one who wipes out all transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Why should you? I'll tell you why. It's misplaced guilt. Get rid of it and put the truth on, because that's a lie. That's not who you are in Christ. Fly. Fly as far as the east is from the west, from my life. Listen to this poem in closing. Since the Lord your debt did pay, saved your soul by grace one day, you with charity shall live, always ready to forgive. That word charity is love. That'd be well worth memorizing. In Colossians 3:12-14 with it. We are to forgive as forgiven. It will change the church. It will put the church into a place of dynamics in a community. The church will become a bright light. People will be attracted to relationship with the Lord because of your relationship with the Lord. I know I was. I know I still am. Attracted by that. Become a first responder today. Don't leave here as every Sunday you've left here. Do not leave this church as you've left every Sunday. Ho-hum, ho-hum. I'm off to whatever we do. Let's not do that. Not first. I want you to become a first responder in personal conflict. Measuring stick. I'm going to forgive as the Lord forgave me. It's not about me. It's not about thee. It's about Him. Forgive as the Lord forgave. Put this in there. Put forbearance, forgiving, and loving as a package in front. And our church will have revival. Our church will be revolutionized. And when we become a mission-strong church, much more than we are now, we've been playing missions. We've been playing missions. It's time to get back in the heat of it. And this is where it starts. This is what Paul said to the church at Colossae. We've got a world to win. Let's start right here, right now. And listen, the little church at Colossae listened to Paul. They did it and became a great mission church. That is my heart today for you and me. It's my heart for the church. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for your marvelous grace extended to us through the propitious death of Jesus Christ on that cross. He took our wrath, the penalty for our Adamic sin, judicially away from our life. And Father, we became the Father. Father, you became the Father in charismai. that's able to bestow upon my life grace from the point of salvation to living grace, to dying grace, to surpassing grace. We are an object of the grace of God. We need to live and behave as such people, not only in our personal life, but in our life with other people. And I pray, Father, we would take the idea of a first responder and put it within our hearts and be that person starting with today, that we are going to use a measuring stick of personal conflict. There's no way to live without conflict. It's how we live with it. We're going to be a first responder that says, I'm going to forgive as the Lord forgave. I'm going to be forbearing. I'm going to be forgiving. And I'm going to be for loving unconditionally. All three are unconditional based on how the Lord has treated us. We love because He first loved us. We forgive because He first forgave us. We forbear because He is always forbearing with us, and every time when He's not. I pray, Father, this upon my life, the life of the ministers in this church, the life upon my board of deacons and their wives, upon the teaching staff, and upon the congregation in their multiple ministries they have in the community. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.